West Ham come back on the attack as it's fed into Joe Cole. Joe Cole with a shot! And just like that, Joe Cole opens the scoring for West Ham United after Chris Brunt wasted a chance just seconds ago. Joe Cole latching onto the neat little through ball from Kevin Nolan. It was a long goal kick from Jussi Askelainen. Flicked on in the middle of the park. Cole fed it to Nolan, a neat 1-2. And a solid finish in at the near post. Ben Foster will be disappointed to have conceded a goal there. But it's a great finish from the former England international, and Joe Cole breaks the deadlock. And you can imagine Big Sam is breathing a big sigh of relief at seeing that goal go in. Brunt feeds that ball into Nicholas Anelka. That's a lovely weighted ball. Anelka, and he's put it in. And the man who's not been in the West Bromwich Albion side for over 2 months has added the equaliser here at Upton Park. A wonderful ball from Chris Brunt. Flicked with the outside of the boot. Anelka timed his run perfectly, got in behind his man. And it was a comfortable finish past Jussi Askelainen. His first goal in the league for the club. Brunt with this corner. Fizzed in towards Lugano. Olsen gets onto it. Saved by Askelainen. Anelka, great save, but he can't keep it out. And Nicholas Anelka has got his second of the game. What a return for the Frenchman.
And gives it to Nolan, who skips away from Lugano. Mayaga shoots, and it's down low. And Ben Foster can't get to that one. And the substitute has his first goal in almost 1,000 minutes of football. And it's come at such an important time for Sam Allardyce. The ball is hoisted out of the stand by Kevin Nolan. And the bubbles start to blow around Upton Park once again. Mayaga just offside from the looks of it when it was played into him from Kevin Nolan. Nolan was calling for the ball back, but a very well taken finish. That first one almost like a tracer from Mayaga, who from almost the same spot went low this time. It bounced in front of Ben Foster. Curls into the far corner. The keeper will be disappointed. The Hammers fans are delighted. And they pulled it level. It's 2-2 here. Space over here for Demel. Good ball in. Diame looks to get onto it. It's headed away. Collect up by Noble. It was McCauley's head on it. At the back to Mayaga. Down, and it's been turned in. And it's Kevin Nolan with the vital touch. They've turned it around here in the second half. A wry smile from Sam Allardyce. Immediately keeping the pressure on West Ham after they pulled themselves level. Floated into the back post to Mayaga. And there were two defenders around him, but Kevin Nolan was able to scoop it past Ben Foster. Nothing the keeper could do from a strike like that from close range. 3 points, remember, takes them up to joint 15th along with West Brom and Cardiff. But there's still plenty of time. We're only halfway through the second half as Berahino cuts on the left foot, shoots low, it's in at the far post. What a reply from Sado Berahino. A magnificent effort. Look at the ecstasy with the away fans. The youngster has just killed the atmosphere here at Upton Park. Played out to this left side of the 18 yards box. And Berahino just opened up half a yard of space. Demel didn't close him down enough. A difficult angle. Had to go in off the post. And he's done just that. And his third goal of the season pulls West Bromwich Albion level. What a game.
Yes, that was the thrilling encounter between West Ham and West Bromwich Albion just a couple of days ago, actually, on Saturday. Welcome to Monday's edition, of course, of World Football Daily. I'm Oliver the Deuce Wilson, bringing you the news and the many views from around the world of football. Thought it'd be interesting to start off with that and move straight into what was said after the game, because Nicholas Anelka back in the Premier League playing and scoring two goals on his return to the West Bromwich Albion starting lineup, his first game since that heavy defeat back in October against Liverpool. And immediately as the players came off the pitch, there was a big stir around Nicolas Anelka's celebrations. Started obviously on Twitter and social media, as so many things do, and it started to bounce around the world's press immediately. This celebration, this gesture that is apparently used by a French comedian in his act, a very unorthodox French comedian, it has to be said, and it's deemed by many and by a number of people, almost everybody actually, as being a anti-Semitic sign. So let's first hear what Keith Downing, interim caretaker manager of West Bromwich Albion, had to say after the game and about especially the Nicolas Anelka incident. Here's Keith.
It was probably better for you than it was for me, but
far away.
Both defences went to sleep there, did they not?
It wasn't the purest for defensive, was it? I mean, I think in fairness, we set up a system, what we did against Tottenham, played three at the back. And in fairness to West Ham, they tried to exploit that. But you know, equally, I thought the first half we had control of the possession. Thought we got ourselves in front, and then credit to West Ham second half. I thought they sort of got the momentum, put us under a bit of pressure, and then had to change it. Sort of as they scored the third, we changed our little system and gave them a problem. But you know, good game to watch. I can't say I'm satisfied the way the team defended, but. No, we can't concede three goals too many times, of course.
Are you aware that Nicholas seems to have been caught up in some sort of storm over his celebrations?
I'm aware of it, but it's got nothing to do with what was being said. I mean, he's dedicated to a French comedian that he knows very, very well. So it's a gesture he uses in his act. And that's, speculation. I think that we can stop that now. I mean, he's absolute rubbish, really.
Jacques Wilshere was punished for a gesture recently. Do you expect there to be no problem with
Nicolas's? No, not at all. It was dedicated to a friend of his who was a comedian in France, so totally unaware of what the problems were or the speculation thrown around. He's absolutely, totally surprised by it.
It is meant to be an anti-Semitic gesture.
Well, I think Keith's answered that question. Nico's explained it's Keith's answered it. There's nothing else to say. No. Moving on to the game, please.
What did you make of his performance?
I thought he had a good game. I thought he combined with Birahino really well. He has that quality to just drop in there and link play, controls the game from that area. And also has the threat, got on the shoulder for his first goal, got him behind. And then typical poacher's goal. Off the corner. I was pleased with him. I mean, it's been a while since he's figured and played, but his dedication and his attitude to it has always been spot on.
He's happy at the club.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, prepared to play and wants to play.
Keith, you said it was ridiculous playing so soon after Boxing Day. West Ham were presumably in the same boat.
Yeah.
Did you think it had an effect on the game?
Yeah, I thought there was a few tired legs there. We had six different faces, tried to freshen it up. But I think when you're talking about judgment and decision-making, and I just think, you know, it's good for your entertainment, of course, because there's a lot of goals going in, but certainly for the players, it's a tough shift.
Keith, have you heard any more as to where the club are as regards the manager?
I'm not aware of it. All I've been told is to carry on. I'll do that again for New Year, and if anything comes before that, then I'll gladly step down and support the guy whoever comes in.
Do you expect that to be the case, that you will be...
Yeah, I mean, I've really had no real contact with the chairman. The chairman's just said continue. They put a press statement out yesterday that thanked myself and Dean for supporting it and the players, so that's what I'm going to continue to do.
Keith, your side's come from behind in the last three games and twice today. How much of the credit do you take as a manager for getting those boys to rally back?
I think that comes from the players, to be honest. I think they take a lot of credit, the fact that they grow when we concede, and I thought that from Hull onwards through Tottenham and, as you said, today, twice coming back from today, I think that goes down to the players' attitude to get themselves back into the game. So you can say, look, I make changes and substitutes. I mean, you're only trying to help the players, but it's the 11 on the field that make it happen.
So you don't think you've imparted a little extra
I could sit here and take all the adulation. I won't, because the players have responded really well. That's what they do. So you can only advise and try and encourage and give a little help by a tactical change here or there, but the players have to do it.
Keith, have you been given an indication that you might be required to stay in the seat a little bit longer than Thursday?
No. No, not been told that at all. I know you guys had obviously picked up on the Spanish chap, but he obviously had the interview and it wasn't for the club, so they move on to the next one. So I think it's unwise of me to get involved in all that. I just think the biggest, because I then get distracted, and you know, I don't want that to transfer to the players. The players know that I'm fully focused in doing what I have to do. I've got great support staff, Dean and the rest of the guys, Dave Olfer, they've all been fantastically supportive, and I just concentrate on that.
And it continued as well for Keith. Here's another bit. There's obviously the main press conference, and then there's a chat with some of the daily reporters for Monday's papers. So this is what Keith was saying after his initial press conference as well, after the game.
How important can Nicolas Bitosido's development this season?
Massively. I mean, but it's not just Nicolas. It's, you know, Sessegnon, players of that quality that play along with a youngster. Fantastic to learn from. So, you know, it's a special relationship. I think they get on well with each other, Nico and Saido. He's full of advice. He's been a good role model, been around the place and conducted himself properly. Yeah, I mean, absolutely. You help.
Has he got any chance, you think, of going to the World Cup final? That sounds a bit ridiculous. He's certainly been a real surprise this season.
Yeah, I mean, I've worked with him for 5 years. I mean, a special... From my point of view, you know, credit goes to the academy that's brought him through. Not many people get mentioned, but, I mean, people like Mark Harrison, Jimmy Sheehan, they've worked really hard for him. To go on, big step, you know, remains to be seen. I think it depends on the next 3 or 4 months. I think I'd be unwise to stand here and start shouting him from the rooftops. I think he's got a lot to learn, but, you know, he's a talent. You've seen that today, and he's got the ability to go all the way.
Roy certainly would have been aware of him, though, from around the club, so yep. He must know what he can do.
Yeah, Roy's worked with him, so very much aware of what he is and his capabilities, but, you know, I mean, Roy's got a few choices to make, so he's aware of that. But you know, I'm trusting Roy to get the right selection.
Does he just play? When you watch him, I've seen a few times, he just play off the cuff. He's just no fear in him. There's just complete innocence with him.
Yeah, I think you get that with youngsters. I think they just go there. They don't really think about it too much. They sort of, there's a bit of natural ability of him, and he has that. He's got an ability to shoot off both feet. His movement is clever. I wouldn't say he's got abundance of pace, but he's clever. He can lose people with a yard or two. And he's a strong boy. You know, he's a strong boy. He's probably not 6 foot, but he's got that strength that backs into people, links it up well. He's got a lot going for him. You know, he's just got to deal with the successes, deal with the adulation, deal with you guys. You know, he's just got to learn that as he goes along.
Been an odd season for Anelka, hasn't it? Because he had those problems early on, and then when is it, October since he played?
Yeah, it's been a while. But the club's always supported him, and and I think he's always prepared to wanted to play. Just over the last few weeks, as you mentioned, he's not really figured. So, but he's never intended saying I don't want to play. You know, he's always been there for selection. And I thought with the Christmas period, I thought it would be a good opportunity to bring him in.
It'd be crucial in the months ahead.
Yeah, I mean, you've seen that today. He brings so much class to the team, and brings a steadiness, and we have a bit more possession when he's in the team. It's just, you know, and I think if anything, you know, just said to him, look, get on the shoulder, get him behind people, and that's what he's showed today. He's the first goal's a good run and a good finish.
Yeah, it's a very peculiar situation that West Bromwich Albion find themselves in. Before we get too deeply into the Nicolas Anelka situation, let's first have a look back at the game. It was the opening game of the 28th of December on Saturday, the early kickoff. As I say, I was lucky, as you heard, enough to be down there. An absolutely thrilling encounter. Obviously, West Brom coming with this three defenders at the back, two wing backs, didn't pay off for them. Joe Cole scoring very early on, indeed, after just 4 minutes. Before Nicolas Anelka's double just before half time, two goals in the space of 6 minutes for the Frenchman, gave West Bromwich Albion the lead going into the break. West Ham, though, came back and were very impressed considering I was very impressed considering that that the home side were actually playing with pretty much four defensive fullbacks as their back four, of course, Tomkinson having to come off Guy Devil taking his place, and it made it a very difficult afternoon for Sam Allardyce's side. That being said, they did actually, as I say, come back in the second half. Modibo and Mayaga with a fantastic effort off the bench, who was brought in as a half-time substitution. And Mayaga, with an incredible effort, scored a great goal, forced a wonderful save from Ben Foster as well, and then was a big part player in grabbing the third for West Ham. Kevin Nolan scooping the ball into the box after a big commotion pretty much in the back four. But Sadio Berahino, the youngster, able to find the telling strike to give the Baggies a point from their trip down to London. And it's, I'll tell you what, West Brom have battled extremely well over this period, especially with Keith Downing coming in. The caretaker manager took over, was trailing against Hull at the Hawthorns just before Christmas, and were able to come back and find a point late on from Matteo Vydra. Then they went to Tottenham and had an incredible game on Boxing Day. I was chatting with ex-West Bromwich Albion player Anthony Bomber-Brown, a legend at the club, before the West Ham game, about how he'd seen them playing. And he said there's more of a kind of a survival belief. There's a real battling spirit to this West Bromwich Albion side that seems to be coming through. And I think that's a big part in going to be a big part for them in making sure that they survive this Premier League season. Obviously, coming away from West Ham with just the 1 point, not as good as it could have been, especially after being 2-1 up at the break. But the fact that they were behind twice in that game, came back, they were behind against Tottenham, came back as well. There is a fighting spirit there for the Baggies. So very interesting to see how that continues for them under Keith Downing. And Malky Mackay, who was sacked actually just after we did our show on Boxing Day, just after that, Mackay receiving his marching orders from Mr. Tan down at Cardiff, and he is the front runner for the vacant managerial spot at West Bromwich Albion. We will keep our eyes and ears open on that one. We do have to touch on this and talk about this storm that surrounds Nicholas Anelka's celebration. A number of journalists saying that it is as bad and twice as bad as ever and Terry, as Suarez and Terry's abuse put together, and some people calling for a 16-match ban. And it's hard to disagree, really. Nicholas Anelka making this gesture after he scored on the weekend, and it's basically to put it down as a French comedian called Diodonné, who uses this in his act. Now, he is, Diodonné, renowned for being a very controversial and offensive French comedian, and has a number of anti-Semitic jokes in his act. There's incidents in his act of Holocaust denial. Very horrible chap in terms of the comedy that he uses. Anelka is obviously friends with him, and he was just dedicating this goal to his friend, the comedian. However, by using this symbol, it's obviously a symbol that's been picked up and used as in the comedian's act, Diodonné. It's actually been given a kind of a slogan, so to speak, the Quinilleres stance, Quinilleres sign, so to speak. And it has been used as a anti-Semitic symbol. And it's, if Anelka knows this comedian well, he knows the kind of issues that will be surrounding him in France. I guarantee most people in England didn't know anything about this Quinilleres sign, and they didn't know anything about this French comedian Diodonné unless they were avid fans of French comedy or highly involved in French culture. And now it's drawn attention not only to this sign, to this symbol, but also it's drawn attention to the comedian himself. And anybody in France who knows him will know exactly the kind of act that he has, exactly the controversy that he has surrounding it. And for Anelka to publicly put that on display, it is ridiculously a stupid act from him. Whether he meant it in an offensive way or not, it's stupid, just plain stupid from him. And it would not surprise me at all if there was some sort of ban, fine in place for Nicholas Anelka for making that gesture after scoring against West Ham on the weekend. And a number of people saying as well that it could have long-lasting effects on English football in terms of the anti-Semitism that we sometimes see. And I would like to say this, we sometimes see at Tottenham games. Obviously, the whole Y-word issue has been a very big issue this season, and you do sometimes get at some grounds when Tottenham go and play their kind of hissing and anti-Semitic chants and whatnot, and some journalists fearing that this could kind of break out and spool over into that. You know, you don't want to have a stand of away fans at Tottenham producing this gesture in an offensive anti-Semitic gesture towards the Tottenham fans at White Hart Lane, or if Tottenham go on the road or anything like that. It's going to be very interesting to see what happens with Nicholas Anelka. Keith Downing said that he didn't feel there would be any trouble with it, but at the same time, I don't know if Keith actually knew, in fairness to him, so quickly after the game, what the repercussions could be for this act and for this gesture and the issues that surrounded it. So we will wait and see to see what happens to Nicholas Anelka after this very controversial incident indeed. And it's just done nothing to help West Bromwich Albion on a day that should have been a very well-deserved point for them. It suddenly cast a big shadow over their point down in London, and a pretty decent time down in London over the Christmas period. They're back at home on New Year's Day against Newcastle United. It'd be interesting to see if Nicholas Anelka is playing in that side. It would seem unlikely to me. Sadio Berahino, though, looking very good indeed. Shane Long with a calf injury out for the moment. But I tell you what, Berahino and Maiga, both for West Brom and West Ham respectively, should be playing parts in their games coming up on New Year's Day. We'll have a quick chat about that. Before we move on, here's what Big Sam Allardyce, a man very much under pressure, had to say. And I'll tell you what, if you watch that game on Saturday, the range of emotions that Big Sam was showing in his body language was unbelievable. You know, he looked very calm as soon as they went 1-0 up and were holding on to this 1-0 lead in the first half. Then suddenly 2-1 down, he slumped in the chair. He's not looking happy. He looks so depressed. He is under so much pressure in terms of his job, because for West Ham, their season has not been going well at all. And they are still down in that relegation zone at the moment after that point. But he'll be pleased with the way his side battled to get themselves back into that game, and unfortunately throwing away their lead so quickly to Berahino's emphatic strike. A beautifully placed strike, nothing a keeper could do about it. So here's what Big Sam had to say after the game.
Well, we didn't have any problem apart from James Tompkins getting injured in the first half, up to them scoring the two goals quickly and swiftly. That like made everybody a little depressed, of course, because we started off well, looked relatively comfortable. They scored with the first chance that they had, and then they scored off a corner, which we thought was a goal kick. But that's always going to change the fortunes of the game, and the lads, it was about getting and continuing to do the right things and trying to open up the opportunities that we felt we could see that would be possible from the first half performance. So I think in the end you'd always need a bit of quality. That Sean Sue, and the quality was Maiga's goal. I think that he showed a bit of quality before that, pulled a great save out of Bob Foster, then the goal itself, and then the second goal to get us 3-2 up second half was pure determination and desire, which is what we're all about. The sad thing was not continuing from there on to protect what we'd just got ourselves back in into the winning position in the game. So and like I've said, you know, I can't. It's really bitter for me, that pill, because we practice not allowing the opposition to get in our box within the space of 10 seconds. We have to try and push them into their half. We have to try and win the ball back as quickly as we can. We try and keep them in their half if we can't win the ball back. And we just must have mentally switched off because of the delight of scoring the third, and we got heavily punished. And then anybody could have won it then. You know, we both went for it. Fatigue kicks in because of two games in less than 48 hours. And I have to say it was a remarkable performance from our players, considering we've four full-backs playing across the back four today. And had we had a full back four, never mind all the other injuries, I think if we had a full back four fit today, I think we'd have won. But because we hadn't, we asked players to play out of position, and unfortunately we've ended up conceding three, but three very, very good goals. And the lads are a little disappointed they haven't won, but a fantastic effort from all of them.
In the So that really is what you're saying, is overall there was a case for the defence. You would say they wasn't giving it up. Well, in both sides defended badly, really.
Well, but you try and defend with two full-backs playing centre-half.
Yeah.
But the fact of the matter is it's not their positions. I mean, it's not their positions, and you're playing against the Nelkers of this world, and people like Brunton who play both, they're going to catch you out, aren't they? You try and defend a corner when I'm 6 foot one. Well, if I wasn't, I was 6 foot three. So if Joey O'Brien were marking me, if Joey O'Brien were marking me at 6 foot, or George McCarthy at 5 foot 11, I'd be saying, get that ball in this box, son, I'm going to score today. You know what I mean? And I would, and that's where they got the second goal. So, you know, at the end of the day, that's not really anybody's fault, because you're outpowered by the size of the opposition's players on that particular corner. So, like I said, had we had our full quota of defenders fit today, we'd have won.
I
can put, you know, it's like drawing a rabbit out of the hat in the minute for me. You know, every day goes, every week goes by, and the long-term extent of these injuries are where we are at the minute, and there's no doubt about that. And we've got to get them all fit as quick as we can. It's been weeks and weeks and weeks, not just a couple of weeks here and a couple of weeks there, which we can all manage in the season. It's been weeks and weeks and weeks and weeks for too many of our players, and that's why we're paying the price at the minute. We used to be great at keeping clean sheets. Now, because of our defensive problems, we're finding out to do that, and finally we've scored three goals at home, and we haven't won the game. But that's no real fault of the players that played today. Well, you can make it their fault, but because they're playing out of position, you can understand it.
Yep, Sam Allardyce there. Will he be the next manager to lose his job in the Premier League? I tell you what, there's a few about that could be going very soon indeed. One man that's probably not going to be going for a little bit of time is Steve Bruce. His Hull City side performing very well this year in the Premier League, up into 10th. I really had them as going down. I've never really rated Steve Bruce as a manager. And when you look at their squad, it wasn't a squad that I genuinely thought had big ambitions of staying up. There's no real big names that stick out to you, but I tell you what, Tom Huddleston has made himself a very big name at Hull City this year, and he was a big part of their 6-0 win against Fulham on the weekend. Unbelievable result for Hull. 0-0 as well at the break, so don't think anybody saw this one coming. Fulham definitely didn't see this one coming, that's for sure. El Mohammadi opening the scoring with a great strike. Robert Corrin and George Boyd adding goals for themselves. Then finally it came. After so long without a goal, 2 years, Tom Huddleston finally rattles the back of the net and he can have his haircut. A fantastic strike from him from the outside of the box. Left-footed, smashed in drive low into the bottom corner. And immediately running over, that celebration of the assistant with the pair of scissors, cutting a bit of his hair off straight away after he scored. He has been desperate, I think, to get rid of that afro. I've been following him on Twitter for the last few years, and every so often when it comes up, you know, he is saying that it's getting frustrating at times and he wants to be able to get rid of it. And finally, he has, finally grabbing his goal after 2 years to finally get the haircut he so desires. The goals kept coming though. Matty Fryer and Robert Corrin adding strikes of their own. Corrin with his second of the game, and really Fulham just looked disgraceful. Steve Sidwell talking after the game, saying that they let themselves down and apologising to the fans. Rightfully so, Fulham, rightfully so, because at the moment you are in an absolute dogfight down there at the bottom of the table, and you are looking and sliding so quickly down that table. 41 goals conceded this season. It's pathetic, and some of the you have to say some of the performances from that Fulham side have been very disappointing indeed. If I was a Fulham fan, I would be absolutely livid right now with the way that side is playing. Rennie Morlenstein, the former Manchester United assistant manager, taking on that job at Fulham, and has not done a good job since coming in November. The results continue to get worse and worse. It wasn't just Martin Jol's fault then, it seems, at Fulham. Shahi Khan, the other eccentric-looking owner, both with great moustaches, though, you have to say. Maybe has made a slightly foolish appointment there in Morlenstein. Fulham continuing to slide and struggle in the Premier League table. Aston Villa grabbed a well-earned point against Swansea. Gabby Bonglahor giving them the opening goal of the game, and Swansea, who are expected to go up there and really, you know, take the game to a struggling Villa side, that have suddenly managed to get themselves pushing and slipping down towards the bottom of the table. A vital point for Paul Lambert to at least end a four-game losing streak. We heard from Paul earlier on in the week, or last week, about his job and whether he was worried about the safety of it after what happened at West Brom with Steve Clarke losing his position. And Paul said he was very nervous about it. So that point coming, a vital time. Manchester City against Crystal Palace as well. I tell you what, Tony Pulis has got this Palace side very well organised indeed. Joe Hart with some incredible heroics, including denying Jason Puncheon and Cameron Jerome, both who look excellent at the moment. Very similar side, actually, to the one that played Aston Villa on Boxing Day. And Puncheon and Jerome forcing phenomenal saves, as I say, from the England international goalkeeper. Took a hefty cut above the eye, which surely would have affected him throughout that whole game. His eye was almost part closed up by the time that had finished at the Etihad. City with a 1-0 win. Edin Dzeko finally getting a goal for City. And a decent performance from Dzeko as well, given the start. He's got the vital winner that gave City 3 points, keeps their title push going, and still sees Palace struggling just above the relegation zone. 1-4 for them and 3 losses. Manchester United got a 1-0 win. Danny Welbeck, a stroke of luck for Danny Welbeck, as he closed down a clearance. It bounced off Javier Hernandez straight into Welbeck's path, took it round John Ruddy, and was able to provide the 1-0 goal that gave United 3 points on the road against Chris Hughton's Norwich side. And Cardiff 2-0 up. Vincent Tan almost dancing in the box after Jordan Much and Fraser Campbell gave the home side the lead. But Sunderland coming back late on in this one. Gus Poyet's side getting goals from Stephen Fletcher and then Jack Colback in the 95th minute, almost 30 seconds remaining in that game, when Colback struck the back of the net. Pretty much the last touch of that one, giving Sunderland a vital point as they look to get themselves back off the bottom of the table. Still in touching distance of those above them. Cardiff, the safest team above Sunderland in 16th place, 4 points clear. Everybody else, Sunderland could leapfrog if results went their way. Everton got a 2-1 win against Southampton. Romelu Lukaku on the score sheet once again, looking fantastic. Big Rom in that Everton side. Southampton, a little bit of a dip at the moment. Just 1 win in their last 6 games. That, of course, coming against Cardiff. A 2-1 loss, though, is nothing to turn your nose up at Goodison Park, especially when this is an Everton side that are winning games, winning well, and not conceding goals. They've conceded just 18 so far this season, equaling Arsenal's defensive record as the best defensive record in the Premier League at the moment. And Everton, more importantly, above Liverpool and in the Champions League spots right now. So a very big result for them. Arsenal got a 1-0 win against Newcastle United. Olivier Giroud happy to get back on the score sheet for them. And then we moved into Chelsea against Liverpool. Luis Suarez, should he have had a penalty? Should Samuel Eto'o have been sent off? That first challenge early on in the game that led to the free kick that then Skrtel ended up bundling in from close range. Eto'o, though, raking his studs down a player's shin, and arguably going over the top of the ball, could have been sent off, at least deserved a yellow, and then tripping Luis Suarez off the ball in the penalty area as he looked to chase down Azpilicueta for a loose ball. Should he have been sent off? Either way, you can't take away any credit from Eden Hazard. That superb finish on 17 minutes, pulling Chelsea level after Skrtel's early opener. And then Samuel Eto'o, finally a Chelsea striker, able to score for the boys in blue down at Stamford Bridge. He added a strike on 34 minutes that gave Chelsea a big 2-1 win. What does that say about Liverpool's title aspirations as well? I said that these two games against City and Chelsea would be big for them. And it's a shame they've come out with nothing from them, because they've deserved to at least have a point from both, possibly victories away from home at the Etihad and at Stamford Bridge. What a different side this Liverpool side would look if that were the case, and they would still be on the top of the table, joint with Arsenal, had they got those 6 points in their last two games. Instead, 2 losses, but as I say, nothing to turn your nose up at. And they're still only 6 points off Arsenal in the title race. And finally, Tottenham. And just as we were slagging off Emmanuel Adebayor, he starts to work again against Stoke City at White Hart Lane, providing some phenomenal service. His emphatic bicycle kick leading to the handball that led to Roberto Soldado's penalty. Yes, that's right. Soldado scores a penalty. Who would have thought that the Spaniard would be firing in penalties for Tottenham Hotspur? I think we all got the gist of what his shooting calibre is like at the moment in the Premier League. He's lethal from 12 yards, Soldado. Dembele with a fine strike, as was Aaron Lennon's as well. Both excellent goals in that match. Stoke looking abysmal. With Mark Hughes getting very frustrated once again on the sideline. A difficult period for them with two straight losses. Of course, the other loss coming against Newcastle just the other day. We do have games coming up this week, midweek. It's almost like a Champions League, but in fact, it's your first of January day games. New Year's Day always brings another feast of football, and it's a great way to kick it off with Swansea against Manchester City at Swansea. The Liberty Stadium has been problematic for many that go there. Swansea have conceded 15 shots on target in their first ever Barclays Premier League season last year in a game against Man City. That opening game, of course, when City tore them apart, Aguero, that was a night that I think everybody turned and put Sergio Aguero in their fancy league teams. City making mincemeat of Swansea, and that led to them going on and winning the title 2 years ago. Swansea will be looking, though, to be able to, on home soil, grab a point at least off City as their away form continues to be a problem. It's recovering at the moment, but I still wouldn't say, you know, after that 4-2 win against Fulham on the road, that it's still perfect by any stretch of the imagination. And they did draw at Southampton in their other away game in their last five, so not great results still coming on the road for Manchester City. Swansea would love to be able to end their five-game dry spell without a win. We move into the 3 o'clock games, and we've got some crackers coming up for you. Arsenal against Cardiff City. Tan's men take on Wenger's boys as the Arsenal side look to maintain their one-point lead at the top of the Barclays Premier League table. Anybody that's doubting whether Arsenal are a Premier League title contender or not, just need to look at that table going in at Christmas and New Year. They are still up there and they are still playing great football. Expect some additions in that front line for Arsenal. We're going to get into that when we return properly after the new year. Manchester City, of course, are just a point behind, and Chelsea 2 points off Arsenal. They take on Southampton away. Pochettino's side looking to get another win. They've not been coming thick and fast as they were earlier on in the season. Southampton are starting to slip. If they genuinely want to be considered a Europa League caliber side, they need to start picking up some 3 points soon, and 3 points against Chelsea would be no mean thing at all. In fact, did anybody hear Jose Mourinho talking about Liverpool pundits on television here in the UK? Absolutely fantastic what he was saying. He's saying there's nobody there to back up Chelsea. You've got ex-Liverpool players everywhere. You know, Jamie Redknapp, Souness, Jamie Carragher, Alan Hansen, Mark Lawrenson. You know, plenty of these ex-Liverpool players make it onto the seats of football punditry here in the UK. And Mourinho is saying when he's 75, he is going to quit managing and become a football pundit, which I think we would all love to see Jose Mourinho as a football pundit somewhere. And I imagine that he would bring in the big bucks for any TV company that was willing to pay, I'm sure, a very high salary to have him in. Who would be your best managerial pundit to come out of current management right now? Who would you like to see sit on the sofas of your football show and become a pundit for you? Let us know. Show at worldfootballdaily.com, at WFootballDaily on Twitter, 310-989-8483 is the rant line, and the Facebook page as well. So Chelsea taking on Southampton. Liverpool take on Hull City. They'll be buoyed by that 6-0 win against Fulham. Liverpool looking to bounce back from these two straight losses. Suarez and the boys at Anfield surely will do the business there. Palace take on Norwich. A very winnable game for Tony Pulis's side against Chris Hughton's team that are there and thereabouts at the moment. They are by no means safe. One win in their last six, two losses in a row for Norwich City. Hughton would just like to maybe grab 3 points just to move them away from that relegation battle that's starting to build up at the moment. Deep in that relegation battle are both West Ham and Fulham. Sam Allardyce's side taking on Rennie Morlenstein's team, and the winner of that will surely be moving out of the bottom three on Saturday. Stoke City take on Everton, a difficult place to go as always, the Britannia, but Everton still in fine form. Sunderland take on Aston Villa at Sunderland on at home. The Poyet's team have enough to take on Aston Villa and get 3 points. It would be so big for them to stay in contact with both Fulham and West Ham and Palace as well down there in that relegation battle. West Brom take on Newcastle. That's where I'm going to be on New Year's Day. No festive drinking for me once again as the football work continues. And as I say, I will be getting the thoughts of Keith Downing and hopefully Alan Pardew as well after that game. You'll hear that on World Football Daily coming up next Thursday. And what a game to finish off New Year's Day. Manchester United against Tottenham at Old Trafford. Finished in that 2-2 draw last year when one Clint Dempsey grabbed the equaliser. Wayne Rooney has scored 9 Premier League goals against Tottenham, including 7 in his last 6 starts against them. I'm sure Rooney would like to get himself on the score sheet once again and scored some vital goals in the last few games, especially against Hull after trailing 2-0 on Boxing Day. Tottenham have just won 1 of their last 25 Premier League matches against Manchester United. The odds not looking good for Tim Sherwood's side, but they are a renewed side. What do you make of the appointment of Tim Sherwood? Do you think he is getting the best out of this Tottenham team, or do you think there's maybe still more to come from them? Or is Sherwood going to end up being found out almost for being slightly out of his depth at a big side like Spurs? We'd love to hear your thoughts. show@worldfootballdaily.com is the email address, at WFootballDaily on Twitter, 310-909-8483 is the rant line, and of course that Facebook page as well. We are going to leave it there for today because I want to get back when I've got Rafa to sit down and discuss all of these issues that are coming out over the Christmas period properly. I'll give you a quick heads up as well, by the way. The Taça da Liga in Portugal is kicked off. This group stage, round 3 of the Portuguese League Cup when the big boys all return. And I'll tell you what, last night I was watching Porto against Sporting Lisbon in Sporting down in Lisbon. And it was a wonderful game. One of the best 0-0 draws that you will see for a while. If you don't believe me, check out Paul Condert's Portu_goal Twitter account and see what he was saying about the game. Absolutely entertaining to the least, but 0-0 between these two sides. You only play 3 games in this 4-team group, and it's a big opportunity. You felt whoever won that would probably go on and win their group. The winner of each 4 groups going into the semi-finals of the tournament, and then obviously on to the final after that. But with it being 0-0, the group is finally balanced. Maritimo also in there, along with a second division side from Portugal. And it makes those Maritimo games for Sporting and Porto very big indeed. If you can check it out, because that could be a very entertaining little cheap thrill for anybody that wants to get sucked into a little bit of Portuguese football. Braga, the defending champions, started their campaign to retain the title, the League Cup title in Portugal, with a 2-1 win over Estoril away from home. A very big win indeed for them, especially against an Estoril side 4th at the moment behind the big 3 of Sporting, Porto and of course Benfica. And if anybody's got any doubts about whether Freddy Monteiro was a big loss to the Seattle Sounders, take a look at what he's doing down in Portugal for Sporting Lisbon. Lisbon, who finished 7th last year, up level on points, bettering the goal difference of both Benfica and Porto. He's helped change that side into a real title fighter. And I think he's got 12 goals this season as well so far in the Liga Sagres. Keep an eye on Freddy Monteiro. We're going to leave it there for today. Remember to tuck into as much football as you can. It does keep on coming as the football starts to return. We've got French Cup action, Portuguese Cup action coming as well, and the FA Cup's just round the corner too. Of course, there's the New Year's Day games in the Premier League. We will be coming back on the 2nd of December. December of January to bring you a look back at those New Year's Day games and give you a run-in to the FA Cup fixtures coming up next weekend. But for now, we will catch you at the same time on Thursday. Take care. Enjoy the football. I hope you have a wonderful new year. We will see you in 2014. Have a good one.